Hello, and welcome to the Christian Life Podcast. I am Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number one. Getting ready to sit down and record this episode has been so exciting to me. I've been thinking about podcasting for a while, and I have so many things that I want to share about living the Christian life, about following Jesus and being led by the Holy Spirit. To be really honest with you, my problem today is not what do I even want to say on this podcast, but it's literally where do I begin? As I've been praying about taking this thing live, I feel like the best way for me to get started is just to introduce myself. After all, most of you probably don't know who I am, and so why would you care what I have to say, right? So what I want to do in this first episode, this inaugural episode of the Christian Life Podcast, is just give you some of the current details of who I am and give you some of the backstory, even how it led me to this point of doing a podcast. So as you know, my name is Scott Ingram. I'm the founder and the apostolic overseer of a ministry called Sozo Ministries International. We focus on evangelism, church planting, and leadership development in East Africa. I currently live in Uganda as a missionary with my wife, Liz, and our three kids, Marley, Harper, and Liam. My wife and I, along with another man named Bobby Mann, launched this ministry 4.5 years ago. We had two very specific prophetic words from the Lord, which was then followed by an unmistakable event that affirmed those words. I'm not going to get into those prophetic words now. Possibly on a future episode, I want to talk about the role of the prophetic in the Christian life, and I'll share all of those things then, so I don't want to do that right now. But prior to launching this ministry, I'd been working in Uganda and other East African nations since 2007. All of that was on a short-term itinerant basis. I would come to Uganda and I would be here anytime, you know, from 2 to 3 weeks up to 6 months. Throughout that time, I was also an associate pastor of my church back in Texas, and I started volunteering with an international Christian ministry that spread me beyond just East Africa. We were in places like India, Israel, and I even spent a year living in Haiti. When those two prophetic words came to launch our ministry, I was already looking to get engaged to my wife. Like, it was a hectic time. The missionary life had kept me so busy, and so I was 30 when my wife and I got married. That's quite a bit later than a lot of my friends did. And that season was probably the most stressful, and yet the most amazing time of rapid growth spiritually in my life. We literally got engaged in November. I went to India for a couple of weeks. I came back to plan the wedding. And I don't remember if it was late February or early March, that event came that led to stepping out and launching the ministry. I resigned with the organization I had been working with. We registered the ministry on April 1st with the state of Texas. I got married May 2nd, and even at our wedding, like the day of our rehearsal meal, the rehearsal dinner, we had our first board meeting because everyone was in town for the wedding. As soon as I returned from the honeymoon, within like 2 days, I dropped the paperwork for 501c3 status in the mail. We got our full acceptance letter a month later. Even the IRS website and most other organizations will tell you it's 1 to 2 years to get that approval. But we had it in a month. God absolutely threw us into a season of rapid growth. I'm still not sure if it slowed down. That year, back in 2015, I traveled to Uganda alone, and God firmed up some of the ministry partnerships I'd been building for years. He opened up some very big opportunities for us to be here and to expand what God wanted to do through this new ministry. We came to Uganda the next year. We registered the ministry here because since 07, I'd been working with a group of pastors in the villages, really trying to equip them and raise them up. And as soon as we stepped out and launched our own ministry, the question was, Scott, when can we join? And so, you know, things haven't slowed down. We are registered in Uganda. We have legal covering in Kenya as we're pursuing registration there. There's some legal challenges with how the government does registration of churches, but we're believing God is going to happen. Right now, we have about 38 churches in Uganda and Kenya under our ministry network. We're also working with a big group of pastors from South Sudan who are living as refugees in Uganda. So we know we'll be expanding our ministry there as well in the next few years. We've been taking part in some mega outreaches and crusades. We've seen thousands of people healed, thousands of people saved, thousands of people delivered from demonic torments. We've already added a couple of people to our staff in Uganda. We appointed a national director in Kenya and also a regional overseer in another area of Kenya. We have another missionary who's joining us full time in January to oversee our children's projects and our compassion projects. And then we're also a part of the Apostolic Network of Global Awakening. And so through that, we have had some partnerships with other ministries in the network who have came and helped us do training. We currently have a year-long intern from their ministry school, and their ministry school is planning on bringing a bigger team, I think of about 6 or 8 people, early next year. And so we are growing. Things are moving so fast, and I'm loving every minute of it. As I've sought to clarify from God how I need to be spending my own time in this season where our ministry is growing and booming, God has very clearly directed me to focus on equipping the Christian leadership for our ministry and also outside of our ministry. And so currently that means taking part in training conferences all around Uganda. I've been hosting a monthly training event here in my home with our pastors. I've been added to the faculty of another training institute for ministry in Uganda. That ministry hosts week-long intensives as a part of their educational program. And then something I'm excited about, next January, we are launching the Sozo Leadership Institute for our network members. That started as a simple thought and a simple prayer of God, how can we better be equipping our pastors? The government of Uganda is looking at issuing a law that says if you're going to be a pastor, you have to have an accredited theological certificate. And our pastors live in the village. Most of them, even if they have education, they don't have an accredited certificate of theology. And so, looking at how can we get that done, we just started praying, you know, God, how can you do this? And one morning, God just gave me a full download of a 9-month syllabus for that training. And so we're looking at how can we get accreditation for that program with the government. One of the other things that the Lord led me to do is to write. I used to write blogs all the time, weekly, a couple of times a week, sharing what God was doing in my life. And then sometime, probably around 2012 or 2013, I just fell off and I stopped doing it. But I felt like God told me to relaunch my blog earlier this year. And so I've been loving that opportunity to share everything the Lord has been teaching me about the Christian life and about gospel leadership. I'm also in the editing phase of my first book. I'm calling it Preserving the Harvest. And it's just a practical guide for building a discipleship culture within your church. Again, that came out of practical ministry here as we are training churches to partner with us in our outreach programs. We need to be training them not just to get people saved, but how to disciple them. And so we wrote that book as a training, and now I'm working on the editing to get it fully published. All of the writing that I've been doing for the last 6 months is actually what's leading me to do this podcast. The truth is that a lot of people don't have time to sit and read as much as we would like. That's just as true for my pastors living in the villages as it is for busy American business people. And so, in looking how do I better distribute the lessons that God wants me to share, doing audio recording seems like the next best step. So, here we are. This is the result. And so, all of the podcasts that you're going to be able to download and listen to on your phone, Will also be distributed via internet channels and physically on SD cards that they can play in their phones to our pastors and our leaders in Africa. It's going to help us raise the bar of our lives a little higher. I'm so excited about what God wants to do through this podcast, and I'm praying that it's a blessing to you. This sincerely is not about come and listen to me. I really don't care if you even know my name, but I feel like the things that God is showing me and teaching through me are necessary to get out. And so that's the goal of this podcast. I hope to do at least one podcast a week. There may be more sometimes, but I know that I'm not going to be able to keep a rigid weekly schedule at this point. Internet in a country like Uganda isn't always the best, so uploading things don't work always on a timely basis. Also, if I'm spending a week out in our village, sorry, but recording deadlines just don't work. And so I commit to do this regularly and give you the best of what I have, but don't expect perfection. You're also likely going to hear the sounds of Africa in the background. I don't have a cool studio with high-tech equipment to record on. What I do have is a dozen chickens who like to sit right under my window and yell at the most inopportune times. So all of that aside, what I do commit to is to giving you the very best of what the Lord is teaching me, and to try to help you live the Christian life to the fullest, with love, with integrity, as an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Some of the topics we'll be discussing in the upcoming episodes are things like being filled with the Holy Spirit for both holiness and power. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God and the authority of believers. I want to talk about things like how to hear God's voice and obey His leading. How do you read the Bible and apply what it says to your life? How do you pray for the sick? So many things that God's been teaching me. Some episodes are going to be just like a simple Bible study. Some are going to be more instructional and applicational. All of it is going to be about growing in your faith as you follow the Lord. I hope that you'll subscribe. I hope that you'll leave me feedback on how you're growing or any questions you have, and stick with me through this Christian life adventure. It's going to be exciting. As I continue this introduction episode, let me just give you some of the personal stuff, some of the background stuff, so you can really kind of get to know me and where I come from spiritually. I was born into a Christian family in West Texas, middle of the Bible Belt. We went to church every Sunday. My parents went to church their whole life. My grandparents went to church their whole life. And so I come from a long line of cultural Christianity. And I'm not doubting any of their salvation or that they were born again, but I'm just saying it was expected that we would be Christian. But early on in my life, there were some issues with my family that caused problems with the church. After I was born, my mom went into postpartum depression very badly. The people in the church didn't know how to help cope. This is mid-1980s, and so rather than being able to help, there was just a lot of gossip. My parents got over that traumatic experience. We kept going until I was almost 4 years old, and when my brother was born, the same thing happened. And the church, again, not knowing how to help, how to minister, how to pray, it turned to a gossip fest, and it led to my dad saying he would never set foot in that church again. And so before I turned 4 years old, my family left church. What we didn't do was leave the faith. And so I have vivid memories of being 5, 6, 7 years old with my little brother, sitting on the bed and my parents reading us Bible stories. We had, I think it was a Reader's Digest Bible stories collection. My parents would read those to us. And so I grew up knowing Christianity, knowing who Jesus was, knowing these things, but never knowing how it really fit my life. And I wasn't part of the church. this caused me a lot of confusion growing up. So, when I reached 10, 11, 12 years old, I started getting these invitations to go to different churches and do different things. We would go to vacation Bible schools as kids every summer when it didn't matter which church in our little town of 3,000 was hosting, we were in the VBS programs. And then as I got older, I started going to youth events. I remember in middle school being a part of FCA. I remember going into high school and after football games, going to fifth quarters and all of these youth events. I would visit churches, I would do these things. There was never an ongoing part of my life, it was always an event. And at every one of these events, there was an offer of salvation that you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven when you die, and so you need to come put your faith in Jesus. And so, sincerely, from the time I was 12 until the time I was 16, I got saved at least a dozen times. I was always the one to go forward, pray the prayer, put my name on the registry form, that I got saved. But the problem was, I was never connected with the church. There was never any follow-up with me to get me plugged in or, to help me stand as a Christian. And so it was always a one-time decision, but it never went very far. Until I was 16, and at 16, something started switching in my mind. I really started feeling like there's something missing in my life, and I think it's the spiritual aspect. And I know Jesus. I had faith in Jesus, so I wouldn't say that I was saved at 16, but at 16 is when I really understood salvation. I understood the relationship with God aspect of Christianity, and it wasn't supposed to be an event. And so I talked to my mom. I went back to the church that we left when I was 4 and went to summer camp with them. At that summer camp, that's where I really, again, I don't want to say I got saved, but I really dedicated my life to Christ. I had known him before. I know I was saved before, but this was the turning point where it was that full submission of my life to him. And I started going to church every Sunday. I fully integrated into the Christian life. But again, I was living in the Bible Belt where it's cultural Christianity, and so you never know fully what you're going to get. And even though I was saved and now I'm trying to be committed, I was also a teenager. And so I was very much a hypocrite. I was drinking alcohol on Friday night, Saturday night, and then going to church Sunday morning. I was experimenting with drugs. I was experimenting with sexual issues. All of these things. But within the church, I had on the perfect face. I was such a hypocrite that, I very quickly became a leader in my youth group. I didn't know anything about the Bible or any of that, but because of my age, because I was 16, turning 17, I was very quickly one of the leaders in the youth group. And God just really took some time to work on me. I remember my senior year of high school at Christmas. I traveled with a friend who had already graduated high school. He was moving into the dorms at college, moving back into the dorms after the holiday break. And I went with him, and on that trip, I ended up trying some hard drugs, crystal meth, for the first time. And thank God you couldn't get it in my little town at the time, because my life very well probably would have turned out different. But I came back from that trip looking for drugs, looking for those things, and it started me down a bad path, but the grace of God started chasing me. And I always tell people, for the next 6 months, he was disciplining his child up until the point I graduated. At the time, I had enrolled in Texas Christian University in their ranch management program. I wanted to be a rancher. I wanted to work on cattle ranches, on horse ranches, whatever, because, and this was my thinking, part of it was the West Texas culture of, I'm going to be a cowboy. And part of it was ranching was the only career I knew where I could drink beer all day while I worked. And so that was my highest aspiration in life. But going into graduation, God really had been disciplining me that the week I graduated high school, I also stopped drinking alcohol. I told my friends, I can't do this. I remember there was an all night, probably 4 to 6 hour conversation of my friends tearing through the pages of the Bible, trying to show me why it's okay to drink, why I'm making a dumb decision by, giving up the fun we were having. But I just knew something was off about this life and that God had something different for me. I went to church camp the next week. Later, I went to a Christian youth conference, competition type conference, and at that conference is where God called me into ministry. I had already kind of questioned whether I was going to TCU at this point, or something was shifting. I didn't know what. But instead, I enrolled in Arlington Baptist College, the one that hosted the youth conference, and started Bible college the following August. Bible college was a very interesting experience for me because you have to realize I wasn't raised in church. I had about 2 years of church experience, and even that experience wasn't very good. I mean, I had been drinking with other youth in my youth group. I had been getting in trouble with some of these same kids. And so going to Bible college, I went in thinking, I've arrived. These people are really going to show me how to live the Christian life, how to study the Bible, how to hear God's voice, how to do all of the things that you read about in the Bible. And unfortunately, what I got was more of the same. I was still, even though it was a Christian college, I was living in a dorm with guys who had been doing the same things I was doing. There were a lot of people in the school who were serious and a lot of people who weren't. A lot of parents will actually send their kids to Bible college hoping they'll straighten up. You've been a troubled kid, so we're going to send you to Bible college so that you can get yourself right. And it doesn't work. And so going to Bible college, I was trying to learn and grow, but I knew nothing. And so, I would ask questions in class, the most basic questions. The professors would explain something, I'd raise my hand and ask a question. And I kind of got the reputation of one who is challenging the professors and challenging the school's theology, when sincerely I didn't have an ulterior motive. I didn't know. And I'm trying to understand, why do we believe the things you say we believe? Why do we think this when this other scripture kind of says something different? And this reputation of being a troublemaker stuck with me all through college. And I kind of regret that. It wasn't intentional, but it was how things were. A year and a half into Bible college, I just started getting desperate for real Christianity. I was going through the motions, even very early on in Bible college, like 2 months in. There was a small church that I visited that needed a youth pastor. So 2 months into Bible college, knowing nothing about the Bible, I became a youth pastor and I started leading youth. And I'm thankful for the opportunity, but honestly, it probably wasn't the best idea for the church to give me that responsibility because I just didn't know. I did a lot of growing through it, but a year and a half in, I was just tired of playing the Christian game, going to chapel 3 times a week, going to church 3 times a week, wearing my suit and tie to class, King James Bible under my arm, going through the motions, but feeling like I was part of a very dead religious life. And I began reading the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, I'm seeing all of the things that God did, all of the joy, all of the life, all of the power, all of the reality of this Christian life. And my heart just started crying out for it. I wanted it. I wanted what the apostles had. I knew something was missing. My prayer was, God, you said that you came to give life abundantly. I don't even know what that means. I want abundant life. You said that if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I am in bondage. And so I began praying that for about a semester, a good few months. And my friend Bobby, who started the ministry with me, started praying some of those same things. Both of us just got really hungry for the Lord. Well, Bobby went home over Christmas break. And due to some family circumstances, his parents had left the Baptist church and started going to a Pentecostal church. And so Bobby came back in January with all of these stories of things that had happened over his break, from prophetic words to healings to all of these things. And he started sharing those stories with me. At the same time, my grandmother had been sharing stories with me over the Christmas break about how when she was a child, there was a supernatural healing through her sister laying on hands, through all these things. And so I'm hearing all of these stories going, so it is real. It's not just in the Bible. It didn't die off with the apostles. This stuff still happens. And so me and Bobby and a small group of our friends just started pursuing God. And one night about, I don't know, a month and a half later, I was sitting on the side of our bathtub at 3 in the morning praying, asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And in the in the bathroom in the dormitory of the most conservative Christian college in Texas, probably very cessationist, very anti gifts of the Holy Spirit, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. I think Bobby followed about a week later. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. There were some others that followed shortly after that, and it just caused a stir on campus. We weren't trying to convert anybody to our beliefs or, like challenge the theology of the school. We really just wanted real Christianity, and we were hungry and we were going after it, and God answered. But that was followed by a chapel service where they told us why speaking in tongues doesn't happen anymore. It's the devil, and if you're doing this stuff on campus, you're gonna get invited to leave, essentially. You're gonna get kicked out. And so through literally, I went to my room and started packing, but through the intervention of some of the staff and some friends, I decided to stick it out, finish the semester, and I ended up graduating from there. But God did some crazy things in that season. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. Just a couple of months later, Bobby met a Nigerian missionary to the US who invited us to his pastor's conference. Some stuff happened there. I'm going to save for another episode because I want to talk about impartation. That was my first impartation. But that was the first time I got laid out on the floor, slain in the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Early Baptists called it swooning, but I was stuck to the floor. And, God just really started coming alive. Following Bible college, I came to Uganda the first time. I got involved in my church back in Texas, became the associate pastor, started doing missions, ended up living in Haiti in 2012. While I was living in Haiti, I had another period of my life where it was just, I've got to get serious about the relationship with God. Like, I'm doing ministry, and ministry for me became very quickly an idol. I loved doing ministry. I loved the work of ministry, but ministry took place of my relationship with Christ very easily. And so while I was living in Haiti, I just decided, God, your word says that your sheep hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And I was alone for a lot of hours at night. Nobody spoke English. I didn't speak Creole at the time. And so I spent a lot of evenings sitting on the rooftop of the house I was staying in, just praying and listening for the voice of God. I started a prayer journal, and God really started blessing. Like, I started hearing his voice, started discerning spirits living in Haiti. There was a lot of witchcraft. There was also a lot of Christian religion. And so God really boosted me in that season in discernment and in hearing his voice. And it was at that time I was praying for the sick every Sunday. In churches where I was preaching, and nobody's getting healed, and I'm in a season where I'm going after everything God has. I want to learn to pray for the sick. God, teach me how to do that. He did another amazing thing in my life that I'll save for another episode. But that's what connected me to Global Awakening, to Dr. Randy Clark, another impartation story. The sick started getting healed. All this stuff started coming alive, and so. My roots, like my family roots, I've got Baptist, some of my family's Church of Christ, some very conservative denominations, and I was not looking to become the crazy charismatic kid. I wasn't looking, like I still have some issues with some classic Pentecostal theology and those things, but my spiritual life has been about pursuing God and pursuing what's real and wanting to know Him, wanting to hear His voice and follow him. And so that's what marks my life. When we launched Sozo Ministries, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to launch a ministry. And so it was all praying to God and asking God, how do we do this? In fact, when we were launching the ministry, the lawyers advising us said, you have to write your constitution and bylaws, but don't put everything there. You'll have a second document called the Principles and Practices of Sozo Ministries. And so he said, that's where you'll spell out how you do all the little stuff that doesn't need to be in the Constitution. And I said, okay, well, I don't know how to do that. And so I'm sitting praying, with with Microsoft Word open on my computer, and I'm praying, you know, God, what are our principles and practices? And he said, well, how do you do ministry? I said, I just listen to you and try to do what you say. And he said, exactly. So in our official principles and practices, page one says this first, listen to God and do what he says. Everything else we outline as a ministry and our policy hinges on that. And so, I mean, that's it. That's my spiritual life. I want to read the Bible. I want to know the Word of God, and I want to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit to learn how to live it out in my life. I want real Christianity. And so that's my pursuit. That's what you're going to get in all of the future episodes, is how I'm learning to walk this Christian life, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to obey the Word of God, and to try to stumble my way through it. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Like, we live in a world of professional ministers, and there are some major ministries that do all kinds of great things, and I'm not going to badmouth any of them. I have no intention of tearing down anyone. But when I look at the early apostles, Peter and James and John and Paul, those guys had no idea what they were doing. All they knew was that the Holy Spirit filled them and called them, and they were going to do whatever he told them to do. And so I'm still stumbling my way through this same journey that they went on, hopefully that you're on. Hopefully you've put your faith in Christ and are on the same thing. And so that's what you're going to get with this podcast. That's me. So every time you tune in, I hope you come on this journey with me to learn to grow in the Christian life. I would ask you, subscribe to this podcast. Don't forget, wherever you listen, we're on Apple, we're on Google, we're on Spotify. Subscribe so that you get the updates when they come. And also, if you don't mind, leave me a review. Maybe you don't want to do it after the first episode. That's fine. But after a few of these episodes, leave us a review, because they really do help us grow in the podcast world. It lets Apple and these other companies know that you are listening, and so they boost us in the rankings. We're not just one of the dead ones at the very end of the list. There are some ways that you can engage with me directly. The first one is, if you listen to this podcast on Anchor, you can go to anchor.fm/thechristianlife, all one word. You can leave voice messages that come directly to me with your questions, with your comments. If you say something good, maybe I'll use it in a show. You can also make a small contribution to the show there. I'm not using this as an active fundraiser, but our commission to equip leaders around the world is worth the money that you put in, and all of the money that you give is going to help us to continue to do this ministry. So if you want to do that, that's available there. You can also find me online at anthonyingram.com. That's where my blog is hosted. That's where you'll be able to engage with the podcast a little more when I get it set up fully there. That's where, if you want to invite me to come speak in your church or in your event, you can do that there. I'm coming to the U.S. the end of September and will be there through the end of December, coming back to Uganda in early January. And so if you want me live, I'm there. You can find my social media platforms at Ingram Writer, all one word, Ingram Writer. And so you can follow us on social media. That's where we post all of our content that we're creating in all of the different areas. You can also find the ministry at sozoministries.net or on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Sozo Ministries. I think Facebook is at Sozo Ministries INC. But you can find the ministry there. Keep up with what we're doing. We'd love to have you praying for us. So I guess that puts episode 1 in the books. I'll say God bless you until we meet again.